Well, Father, I truly do thank you for giving us warning tonight. I thank you, Father God, for explaining to us exactly where we're at. And now, Father, I'm just asking you to be with us the rest of this service. Open up the spiritual ears, Father God, and let us really hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I'm also asking you to look at each and every heart here tonight. And as your word is going forth, Father God, if the love walk is not right, convict the people, Father. Let them see where they have to change. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. Amen. You know, I know God's window of grace is closing quickly. I didn't realize it till he spoke it. But in my household, I've learned to say no. I've even learned to say no to the people in the body of Christ. And yeah, I realize they don't receive that word no too good. It sort of goes against the grain. After all, you've always said yes. Well, the yes person is gone. And God is saying, no, you're going to do as I ask you to do, or you won't do at all. Amen. Anyway, if you're a person that's always been a yes person and always given in, you know, just knowing that one more day of love will change a person, then all of a sudden God's making you, you know, say no and allowing God to judge him. That's hard. But it's a place that you're going to find yourself in if you're truly walking in the shoes of Jesus. You know, I was saying this morning, like, sometimes, yes, it does hurt me to come in here and look around and, you know, knowing people are talking about me because, you know, God lets me hear what you have to say. And then when I was going home, God said, every time Jesus taught, there was somebody in the crowd saying he wasn't who he was. He said the Sadducees and Pharisees followed him everywhere he went. So I'm throwing that out there to you. Jesus never had one sermon that there wasn't somebody out there trying to destroy him and discredit him, all right? So that should make you feel good, you know, that you're just like Jesus. You don't like them shoes, do you? They're really hard shoes to walk in. When you really and truly do become just like Jesus. Tonight, I've entitled this Everlasting Hope because that's what God titled it. And this is what God had to say. Now, I want you to listen. Everlasting hope is what I have given to my chosen people, a hope that transcends all other hope. In this hope is the newness of life. This newness of life leads you into new places of worship. In these new places of worship, you will transcend into the heavenly realm, and once there, you will learn of heavenly ways. So he's given everlasting hope to his chosen people, and in this everlasting hope is the newness of life. This is important that you grasp this. God says, my people will rejoice in all circumstances. We just failed that. They will be like Paul and Silas. Even when they are imprisoned, they will rejoice and proclaim the name of Jesus. This new breed that's coming on the scene will rejoice in all circumstances. They will be like Paul and Silas. Even when they are imprisoned, they will rejoice and proclaim the name of Jesus. God said, this warfare that is already raging out of control will in no wise affect these worshipers. They will have passed into the newness of life, and nothing matters except the souls assigned to them. That's where Paul and Silas were. That's where Peter finally came to, this newness of life. God said they will march through the muddy waters of degradation. They will go where others fear to tread. This new generation that God's bringing on the scene. They will in no wise compromise their walk with me. They know me in an intimate way. Right now, the church compromises at every corner. And right now, the church does not know Jesus in an intimate way. God said they know Jesus, well, these new people, they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the church doesn't know that. They know the Holy Spirit as their comforter, and the people, most church doesn't even know there is a Holy Spirit. Or this group of people, they understand angelic activity, and they will draw on them at all times. See, we hear about angels, but are we using the angels? But this new group, they're going to pull on them. There is no place where the enemy can hide from these ferocious ones. The enemy has developed a fear of these mighty ones. The enemy will go the other way rather than face them. That isn't happening in the church right now, is it? The enemy just stands in our face and spits in our face and laughs at us because he knows that we don't understand the power and authority that we have. This is the hour of disposition when all of heaven is rejoicing over these mighty ones that have been brought forth to fight the enemy as David fought Goliath. What does God say here? This is the hour of disposition when all of heaven is rejoicing over these mighty ones that have been brought, already brought, not going to be, but already, forth to fight the enemy as David fought Goliath. They have absolutely no fear. They make no excuses. They do not know what compromise means. Their church is full of fear. Church makes excuses all the time. And they compromise all the time. But this new people that is already on the scene somewhere isn't like the church at all. God said their entire motive is onward and upward, no matter the path that lies before their feet. These mighty ones have sat at my feet and they have been taught the ways of salvation. They also know of the evil devices of the wicked one in his disciples. They are not sidetracked by any side roads. They know they must keep their feet on the path before them at all costs. I want to meet these mighty people, don't you? They understand that souls are the most important commodity in my kingdom. My son Jesus forever interceding for these mighty ones. The angelic hosts have their ears peeled for their voices, and they are ready to jump into action at the sound of their voices. Jump into action is what you will hear them say. You know, this is what this new group of people are going to say. They will not have to sit and contemplate, should I or shouldn't I? Totally different than what you see in the house of God right now. They know the importance of the hour and they have committed themselves to the war at hand. Some of you in here right now, you might be part of that group that God's talking about here. Only you know what you have committed yourself to. And only you know how committed you are to God in every area of your life. All right, I said they know the importance, well, God said they know the importance of the hour and they have committed themselves to the war at hand. Soon and very soon the trumpet sound will be heard. These victorious ones are waving their white flags for all to see their purity of heart. When God said they're waving their white flags, I said, wait, that's surrender. No, that can't be right. But I wrote it down anyhow. These victorious ones are waving their white flags for all to see the purity of their heart. They have committed to holiness at all costs. And what does Chris Tomlin's song sing? We wave our white flags. These people have surrendered totally and completely to God. God said, when do you think this will all end? God said, it will all end when I say so. Until then, they will keep marching. They have no hidden agendas. It is Jesus all the way. Life as they knew it has ended, and they are walking in the newness of life. It is Jesus all the way. Life as they knew it has ended, and they are walking in the newness of life. Now, I ran across this about newness of life. And the article said, I know a man who attends a small group at a large church in a huge city. He is curious about the Christian faith, but he hasn't yet committed his life to Christ. A lot of you haven't committed your life to Christ either. When asked why he hesitates, the man answers, I'm not ready to give up my life. And if you're really honest, you're not ready to give up your sin nature either. But this new group that's according to God, that's already on the scene, they've already given up their old lifestyle. They don't want it no more. They know what it's done for them. And they know that they have to walk in this newness of life so that the harvest can be brought in. God's finished with the church. Been finished with the church. And he's been working on these new people that he's had on the backside of the desert. Because he's talked about this group of people before. And now he's brought them forth. Now, the man understands something many cultural Christians do not. Giving your life to Christ is life-changing and impacts every aspect of who you were and are becoming. This man understands something many cultural Christians do not. Giving your life to Christ is life-changing and impacts every aspect of who you were and are becoming. Your life changes once you truly give everything you are to God. You're not the same in any way at all, period. Every aspect of your life has changed. We see the transformation nature of faith in the baptismal vows, you know, when you get baptized, which are commonly recited at baptism. They come from Romans 6. We are buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And you know, we have perform many baptisms, and we've seen people go out in the spirit, have visions, but yet a week after that, they're back into their old lifestyle. Even though they were baptized, and even though they, you know, went out in the spirit, and they had great visitation, they did not keep it because they did not want to die out to self. And that is that's the problem in the body of Christ. Okay, death, burial, and resurrection. That reference to death, burial, and resurrection with Christ in Romans 6 points to almost every dimension of the Christian life. It points to the gospel and to our faith because it indicates our identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In Romans 6, 3, and 4, Paul says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life." Let's just stop there. I don't know about you, but every church I ever went to, the first thing that made me do was get baptized. I said, "I've already been baptized." "No, you have to get baptized here." But I wasn't truly baptized until I became born again. When I was baptized in, I was truly a different person. And I didn't have really any too bad of habits to go back to, but I never went back to my old lifestyle. I was a changed person. This is what bothers me with people who say they're going to get off of drugs and drinking and perversion and all that. You always keep a door open to go back to it. You never truly give it up 100%. You know, and I was thinking about Jesse Duplantis. You know, he had his rock and roll band, and he was out there just doing his thing for the devil. And his grandmother kept praying for him. He went in the bathroom one night doing the rock and roll thing he was putting on, and he got saved sitting on the toilet. Totally and completely changed. No more drugs, no more desire for women, no more desire to do what he was doing. But he had to go out there and finish the concert. And he said it was the most miserable time of his life because he did not want to do that old lifestyle ever again. And that night he broke up his band. He never has had a drink or anything else since. Amen. But I did read about 2 years down the road he cussed. He lived in a trailer and it froze up and he was trying to fix it. And he was up there cussing. And the neighbor came over and said, "Can I help you, Jesse?" "Looks to me like you're having a problem." But then Jesse said he stopped cussing too because he got embarrassed. He was, you know, in church and then he was out there acting like the world. So really and truly, until you really, really, really want to live for Jesus, you're always going to have an addiction. I don't care what it is. You're going to have to want to die out totally and completely to Jesus. You're going to have to want to truly change your lifestyle altogether. You know, people say, well, you know, in order to get away from drugs, you have to change the people you run with, and you know, you have to change where you live and this and that and the other. I'm telling you, Jesse Duplantis, when he got delivered, he got delivered. He didn't run and hide in a closet somewhere. He didn't move 50 mile states away. He stayed right there, and he served Jesus. And that's the way it's supposed to be. If you truly die out to your life's old lifestyle, you won't have to run from nothing. If that's the case, how are you ever going to be a test? How are you ever going to help others that have addictions? I can't go near them because I'll be addicted. Are you understanding this? I can't help them because I'll want to do what they're doing. God always told me, never let the enemy take you down to his level. Always bring the enemy up to your level. And this is what you have to do. If you truly, truly are wanting to get out of an old lifestyle, then you're just going to have to walk, you're just going to have to leave it. I didn't say move out of the state. You're just going to have to say, I'm not doing this no more. That's easy, right? No, it's not. Quit your lying. But you can do that. I wouldn't ever tell you that you can do it if you can't do it. But see, it has to be you desiring to be free. Well, I want to be free, but I'm not free. Then you get on your knees and keep crying out to God till you're free. Somebody's praying for you somewhere. You also have some people wanting you to stay bound. And you also have them counteracting what the Christians are doing for you. But you're going to have to learn to fight. I watch you fight like the devil with the devil, act like total jerks. So why can't you fight the devil and get yourself set free? There's no excuse for being bound. There just isn't. I think I'm on a side road here, so let's get back to it. All right, so you get the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus when you walk in the newness of life. You get, that Paul is saying this, you get our identification, our faith, our trust, our identity, and our incorporation into Christ. Then you have a hint of our future hope. In Romans 6:4, it says, as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so are we too. You know, Jesus was raised to the dead to the glory of the Father. We are too. We die to self, and we're resurrected into a new life. Church, are you going to sit here and allow this new breed of people that God's has already brought on the scene? Are you going to let them steal all that you've been fighting for? Because God said he's going to give your mantle to somebody else. What do you want? What do you want out of God? What do you really want out of God? He'll give you whatever you want. All right, though, the implication here, you know, as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so are we too. The implication is, though Paul doesn't say this, that we too, because we are raised with him, because we will be raised with him. And this is a point that Paul emphasizes, so we too might walk in newness of life. In other words, a brand new life. Brand new life. Old has passed away. The new has come on the scene. I don't see that in the body of Christ. You know, if you're truly walking in the Spirit, you're grieved in the Spirit right now. You're grieved as you watch people who sit in the house of God service after service after service, and they aren't free. When there's freedom for you. It's so easy to give in to your sin nature. So easy. Satan makes it easy for you. And it's really hard to climb up out of that cesspool that you took yourself into. Amen. Well, this is all I've ever known. Well, God wants you to know something new. All right, what do the words mean, you walk in newness of life? So the word walk. The word walk is a reference to the Christian life here and now, and it suggests this life now is the beginning. It's a kind of anticipation, a foreshadowing, and an initiation into the life of heaven. We are walking in the newness of life. Now, don't make that statement because you'd be lying. If you're really, really sold out to God, then you're really walking in newness of life. So the word newness, for Paul, the word newness is a word that implies resurrection. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be taking resurrection power to these souls that are lost. We're supposed to show them how to walk in the newness of life. And you can't show them if you're bound. The new creation or new order is out of the book of Isaiah 65, 17 through 25, and you find it in the Gospels as well. So you can study that in Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. This word newness is used to refer to the new age, not new age movement, but the new age that we move into. The kingdom of God that comes with the person of Jesus. So we are walking in newness of life. How many of you who are truly born again, your life truly did change? Even though you weren't really in deep sin of any type, there was just something, electricity about everything you did. And it was just something came over you that you couldn't sin if you wanted to sin. And you looked at everything through the eyes of Jesus instead of through your earthly natural eyes. And you saw the world differently after you were born again. That's true born again. A lot of people who think they're born again are not born again. And this is a problem. The church has been deceived into believing a lie. And, you know, if you're truly born again, you're not going to run down your brother and your sister. You're not going to try to manipulate and control your brother and your sister. And what does it say? You know, you need to cover those who are in sin, right? We don't do that, do we? We uncover people and we talk about them. That is not godly. All right? Now, you know, there are times we have to have meetings and we have to discuss what's going on, you know, so that we know how to go ahead and proceed forward. But that's different than people just sitting around just tearing people apart. Okay, as a gospel, I guess that's where we were talking about the word life. Life, then, for Paul, the word life is a word that invariably refers to everlasting life. As a gospel, John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's a life that comes from the living water, which is Christ, and the bread comes down out of heaven. It's a life of the glorious age to come. So when Paul refers to newness of life, at first he is speaking of the new life of the kingdom of God, the everlasting life, the resurrection life that we now have because we are participants in the death and resurrection of Jesus, which is marked out by our baptism. Now, if you've been baptized by us, you don't need to be baptized again because we saw what you did. What you need to do is start walking in the newness of life. You need to die. You need to kill your flesh. And you just need to start walking in the glory of God and start doing the things you know that God is calling you forth to do. God's upset with the body of Christ right now. Believe me, he is. And he's upset with those who call you friend and really aren't your friend. They're just trying to, you know, get into the inner core of who you really are. And then they have something to say, uh-huh. You know, God's upset with the body of Christ. So I just seem not talk to anybody. You know, except Jesus. And I know Jesus isn't going to say, uh-huh. He knows us inside out. Okay, so when Paul refers to newness of life, at first he is speaking of the new life of the kingdom of God, the everlasting life, the resurrection life that we now have because we are participants in the death and resurrection of Jesus, which is marked out by our baptism. All right, the Christian life. But when Paul uses the phrase walk in newness of life, it is a reference to the Christian life. That word is used in Jewish literature in the Old Testament and in Jewish commentaries to refer to how you live your life. So Paul refers to our walk, as he says in Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, So walk in him. And in Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In both texts, the word walk refers to the living out of the Christian life. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Bela? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, once you're saved, you should quit running with your old crowd. Because you're a believer now, and they're an unbeliever. And until you really get saturated with Christ, they can tempt you to go back into your old lifestyle. I didn't tell you to move out of town. I just said, just quit running with them. You know, somebody's a drug dealer, or don't get in his car and ride with him. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you know that somebody does pornography and perversion, don't go to their house and watch it with them. Or don't go to their house because they'll tempt you into watching it with them. Once you're born again, you just need to be born again. You need to start changing your lifestyle. And I really believe with every, I know that God has special people, and I know he gives them special anointings. But I believe with all of my heart, every one of us can walk in newness of life. You know, I didn't say the devil wasn't going to tempt. He will tempt you and try you until the day you go to heaven. But you're going to have to let him see, I don't do that. You know, when I was studying about perversion, you know, women say, well, I have to do this because if I don't, my husband will leave me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You would be better off without him than to go into the perversion he wants to take you into. Are you listening here? I know that because God showed me that. And you men shouldn't be trying to draw women into perversion to begin with, or vice versa. And you shouldn't be going into that, because if you give into that, then you're not bringing them to your level. You're going down to their level. Newness of life is what we're talking about. Dying out to your flesh and walking the way Jesus wants you to walk. Amen. I wouldn't want to be Merlin, because he has a job in his hand trying to get men, you know, to walk in newness of life, because they've been walking in this dead lifestyle so long that they think that's where they're supposed to be walking. This is a prophetic word that I passed around, but I just wanted to read this. God said, the sheep cannot be weak and sick and ill-equipped anymore, because the shepherds have been tampering with the devil in the dark. You know, if you don't have a shepherd that's walking with God, you'll never stay saved. Enough, says the Lord, enough. The church must be rebuilt from its ruins. And God told us a few years ago, I'm rebuilding the church. He's having a hard time rebuilding the church because the foundations are so cracked. And the ministers won't change. But watch and see what's going to happen. God's going to close some churches. He's going to take ministers out of their pulpits. He's going to take evangelists off the road, because God is going to have a holy people. He doesn't care what. All right, God said, it's time to go deeper. It is time to go deeper with me, says the Lord. The superficial flesh that feeds you will wither you in this time. You keep walking in flesh is going to kill you. Pursue the holiness of my word and the meat, for I require it, says the Lord. The superficial will buckle under the heavy wind, says the Lord. For I, the Lord, am reviving my children in this time, and you shall go forth mighty in my name, that your nation and other nations and the souls of men may be saved. You're talking about perversion. I went into a pastor's home one time, and And for some reason or other, she was doing something in her bedroom and invited me in there. And, there was all kind of things in that bedroom that I knew were not godly. And I questioned her about it. I wasn't going to her church. I had my own. And she said, God approves of this. I didn't say nothing. But she said, God approves of this. And if I don't do this, then I can't keep my husband. But the husband wasn't making her do it. She was perverted herself and liked the perversion. I loved her. She was a beautiful woman. She's passed away. But see, so self-deceived. So self-deceived. The world is so messed up, but then the church is just as messed up. And God is calling us tonight to walk and die out to this flesh. Walk in newness of life. Walk in liberty. And then God can send you. If you aren't one of the ones he talked about tonight, he can group you with those ones. And he can use you just like he said in the beginning. It is a sad state of it's a sad state when you tell people, I go to church, I follow Jesus, and then the next breath, you're either smoking something or you're cussing up a storm or you're drinking. Now, you know, what kind of a testimony is that? That isn't. You're telling the world, go ahead and do what you want to do, and you're going to go to heaven anyhow. That's not true. There's many sitting in the house of God that they died this second, they would not end up in heaven. And people are going to jump at me about that, but I really don't care. I'm telling you, God took me to hell, and he allowed me to see what goes on in hell. It's not a pretty picture, and you don't want to go there. You really don't want to. He even showed me myself in hell being a glutton. And it was awful. I don't want to be a glutton, and I don't want to go to hell. And I work really hard at making sure that I am not a glutton. But that was me. I saw it. I witnessed it. And I said, God, take some of the other people to hell. He said, it wouldn't change them. He said, I took you there so you could see what goes on, so you could tell the people, because I know that you'll walk the walk. Will you walk the walk? You know, if you're on drugs, would you let God take you to hell and let you see what's going to happen when you go to hell? You know, drugs or, you know, alcohol, whatever it is. Ask God, take me to hell, God. Let me see what's going to happen down there so I can go out here and save the world. Are you listening? I was wanting to go to heaven, but God said, you don't need to go to heaven. You need to go to hell. Because that's where my people are going. And I want to save them. And you can read all the books you want to about people that went to hell because what they're writing is true. But it hasn't changed people. It has not changed people. Remember the rich man was in hell and he said to Jesus, he said, send somebody to my sons so they'll change. And God said, no, they won't listen to their prophets. They're not going to listen to anything else. They're not going to change. But I'm asking you tonight to change. I'm asking you to die out to your flesh and walk in newness of life. Walk in liberty. The atmosphere is so heavy. God is so angry. And he's also so sad that his body's not listening. How are we going to bring the harvest in? Are you listening? Does God have to bring a few drug addicts, alcoholics, perverted people in the house of God and get them cleaned up and use them to bring in the harvest? Yes. Because the church won't change. But that doesn't mean you can't change. Doesn't mean you can't change. God's given you another chance tonight to be in these chosen people and walk in this everlasting hope that you know that you know that you know that everything you're doing is what God's calling you to do. And the altar's open for those of you who truly want to die out to your flesh and be the man or woman of God that God's calling you forth to be.